KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:02, it's clear and 54 degrees in Atlantic. We look for mostly sunny skies here this morning with, again, partly cloudy to cloudy skies this afternoon and a slight chance of showers developing late, a high of 72. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Officials at the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, in Kansas said yesterday that Mid-American Pipeline Company, LLC, and Enterprise Products of Houston, Texas, have agreed to pay a civil penalty of more than $1 million to the United States to settle violations of the Federal Clean Water Act related to three natural gasoline pipeline spills near Ottawa, Iowa, as well as in Kansas and Nebraska. As part of the consent decree lodged in U.S. District Court in Omaha, and in addition to paying the $1.042 million civil penalty, the companies have agreed to undertake various measures aimed at reducing external threats to their pipeline, enhancing their reporting of spills, and spend at least $200,000 to identify and prevent external threats to the pipeline involved in the spills. MAPCO owns and Enterprise operates the 2,769-mile West Red Pipeline, which transports mixed natural gasoline products between Conway, Kansas and Pipe Bend, Minnesota. The settlement resolves Clean Air Water Act violations related to three spills, including one which occurred along the pipeline August 13, 2011. During that incident, a rupture happened near Ottawa, which caused the discharge of about 818 barrels of natural gasoline directly into the Missouri River. In addition to the proactive inspections and outreach efforts, the settlement also requires MAPCO and Enterprise to spend $200,000 to relocate, cover, lower, or replace pipeline segments, install new remote shutoff valves, install new physical protections such as fences or concrete barriers, and install other new equipment, structures, or systems to prevent spills from reaching navigable waters. The consent decree is subject to a 30-day public comment period and court approval. News time is 8:05.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Oneida, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The Atlantic Police Department said yesterday that two people suffered only minor injuries during two accidents over the Memorial Day weekend. On Friday afternoon, a moped driven by Nicholas Behrens of Atlantic collided with a vehicle driven by Brian Farley of Atlantic as Behrens was traveling northbound in the alley east of Walnut Street. Officials say Behrens was approaching the 100 block of East 4th Street at around 1:45 p.m. at the same time Farley was traveling east on Walnut. As Farley's vehicle passed the alley, it was hit in the side by the moped. Behrens complained of minor injuries but refused transport to the hospital. He was cited following an investigation for failure to yield upon entering a through highway. Damage from the accident amounted to $1,000. The second accident happened at around 1 p.m. Saturday at 5th and Plum Streets in Atlantic. Officials say a vehicle driven by Dana Height of Atlantic was traveling east in the 1100 block of East 6th, and while proceeding to turn left onto the 500 block of Plum Street, his vehicle was struck in the side by a bicycle. The bike's rider, Brenda Zimmerman of Atlantic, complained of minor injuries and was transported by Height to the Cass County Hospital for treatment. There are no citations issued. Damage from the accident amounted to $100. In other news, the Atlantic Police Department said yesterday that 21-year-old Jesse Leeper of Audubon was arrested Saturday on a charge of OWI first offense. Leeper was booked into the Cass County Jail. The Cass County Sheriff's Office said yesterday that an Atlantic man was arrested on Sunday on a district court warrant for failure to appear. 20-year-old Michael Andrew McConnell was brought to the Cass County Jail and later released on $2,000 bond. Officials of the Cass and Audubon County Community Foundations have selected recipients of their respective scholarship awards. In Cass County, the 2012 Dustin McCurdy Endowed Scholarship Award went to Michaela Schwenke and Tanner Brown, both of whom are seniors at the Cam High School. The teens have won $500 scholarships apiece. In Audubon County, the 2012 Exira Lions Club and Harold and Beverly Ann Godwin Scholarship Award of $1,000 went to Daniel Petty, a senior at the Exira High School. The award marked the second year for that scholarship, which is available to any graduating Exira High School senior who is pursuing a 2- or 4-year degree full-time at any accredited vocational, technical, or educational institution or college or university. who can demonstrate a successful high school academic career, along with demonstrated community service, spirit of volunteerism. The latest campaign disclosure reports shows there's a lopsided fundraising race between Tom Latham and Leonard Boswell, the two incumbent Iowa congressmen who are running against one another in November. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
Republican Congressman Tom Latham had nearly $2 million in cash in his campaign account by May 16th. That was a deadline day for reporting fundraising totals. It's nearly six times more than Democratic Congressman Leonard Boswell had. Boswell had $300,000 in his campaign account by mid-May. Democratic Congressman Bruce Braley of Waterloo raised about $100,000 since April 1st. Congressman Dave Loebsack, a Democrat from Iowa City, raised about $13,000 more than that. But former Iowa First Lady Kristi Vilsack, the Democrat who plans to challenge Republican Congressman Steve King in November, raised more than Braley and Loebsack combined. Her haul in the six-week period was $230,000. King, however, is a more aggressive fundraiser than he has been in the past, collecting nearly $373,000 during that six-week period. King had about $1 million in his campaign account by mid-May. Vilsack had about $144,000 less. I'm O.K. Henderson.
Two Republicans face off in June's primary to win the GOP nominations to challenge Braley in November. Loebsack faces a Democratic challenger in the primary who hasn't set up a campaign website or raised enough money to require disclosing his donors. And two Republicans running in the second congressional district for the chance to run against Loebsack in November. Well, much of Iowa, especially southern Iowa, could use some rain. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says while weeks of dry weather allowed farmers to finish planting, a lack of significant rain is resulting in poor soybean stands with seeds lying in dry soil. High winds have slowed spraying and dried out the soil. The USDA said in yesterday's report that 95% of the corn crop has emerged, which is 11 days ahead of normal. The condition of the corn has dipped slightly, though, from a week ago, from 81% in good or excellent condition to 77%. Farmers have planted 97% of the soybean crop, and that's ahead of 83% average. Topsoil moisture is 49% adequate or surplus, with subsoil moisture at 58% adequate or surplus. And taking a look at our national news headlines of this hour, parts of the Carolinas haven't seen the last of the storm called Beryl. The tropical depression is heading back toward the ocean, bringing more rain to the state. The National Weather Service said Beryl's maximum sustained winds are near 35 miles an hour, and it could become a tropical storm yet again. Mitt Romney continues his West Coast swing a day after winning enough delegates to clinch the Republican presidential nomination. The win in Texas, the Texas primary, gives Romney more than the 1,144 delegates that he needs. And authorities in Los Angeles County say they've arrested three gang members and are looking for a third man after a couple was kidnapped and held in a garage. Authorities say the woman was let go in order to come back with $6,000. The man was held for several days, but he eventually escaped. News time is 8:11.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In our funeral announcements, Harry Olson, age 88 of Coon Rapids, died Sunday in Carroll. Funeral services for Harry Olson will be held today at 10:30 at the Christian Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has arrangements. Doris Mary Camaseo, age 91 of Guthrie Center, died Saturday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Funeral services for Doris Camaseo will be held today at 11 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center. Victor Jacob Coppold, age 74 of Shenandoah and formerly of Harlan, died Saturday at Bergen Mercy Medical Center. Funeral services for Victor Coppold will be held today at 11 o'clock at the Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Karen Schleifarth, age 64 of Earlham and formerly of Greenfield, died Thursday at Mercy Hospice in Johnston. Celebration of life services for Karen Schleifarth will be held today at 2 o'clock at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Jude Leniker Philbrick, age 59, formerly of Dexter, died Saturday at her parents' rural home south of Dexter. Memorial services for Judy Philbrick will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham. Lloyd John Murtis, age 86, of Carson, died Sunday at the Oakland Manor. Funeral services for Lloyd Murtis will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Carson United Methodist Church. Reconvened Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Edna J. Weeks, age 84, of Audubon, died Thursday at St. Anthony's Nursing Home in Carroll. A massive Christian burial service for Edna Weeks will be tomorrow at 10:30 at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Lloyd Robinson, age 72, of Irwin, died Monday at St. Anthony's Regional Hospital in Carroll. Funeral services for Lloyd Robinson will be held on Friday at 10:30 at the Pauley Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Lois B. Wolford, age 89, of Atlantic and formerly of Messina, died Monday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Lois Wolford will be held Friday at 11 o'clock at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Gerald Esslinger, age 85, of Bayard, died Monday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Graveside services for Gerald Esslinger will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Highland Township Cemetery south of Bayard. Odie Funeral Home in Bayard has arrangements. Aletha May Brew, age 86, of Harlan, died Sunday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community in Harlan. Funeral services for Aletha Brew will be held June the 5th at 1 o'clock at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Pauley Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has arrangements. Nathan Tater Hutt, age 3, of Fontenelle, died Sunday at his home. Funeral services for Nathan Hutt will be on Tuesday at 3 o'clock at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Lloyd Schroeder, age 85, of Atlantic, died May the 23rd at CCMH. Memorial services for Lloyd Schroeder will be held at a later date. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. And Alan Burks, age 78, of Manila, died Tuesday at the Crawford County Hospital in Denison. Services for Alan Burks are currently pending with the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. Our news was brought to you by First National Bank with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.